Okay, does everyone want to see a video?
Everybody, I guess the reminder didn't go out. So those that remember are here. Hi, Sander.
I was going to do the walk, the air walk this morning, but the mice, it's been raining and pouring here throughout. So it's a little wet and damp outside, and it might start raining again. So we'll wait for a different week. Maybe we'll send that out with the message next week that we'll do the walk around. So we were talking about
It might be good die, because then it'll take quicker if everybody could go through the air beforehand and pre-record it and then just play the video.
So that's a little more sophisticated than I could do, but believe that I will get one of my boys that are more technical.
You just need to take a video. You just take a video, then you could screen share and we could play it. That's the easy part. But if you did the video, then we could speak about all the extra things you want to speak about. Like each part, each discussion of each.
That's good.
And you could see like this is a Tours Pesach. This is the basics of Tours Pesach. This is Pitikra. This is a Karpev. No Karpevs. This is Shasarabim, Siachir, whatever.
Very good, very good. Actually, I just wanted to mention that we were discussing the halachas of Erev, building an Erev around Erev Shasiachir, or to join together two Shasiachirs. There's something called a karfef. A karfef is an open area, which is around, I think, 1 1/3 acre. Open area. And sometimes it could include streams, creeks, lakes, or forests that are in the area, which are not for living purposes. Now, to make Erev around such area, one cannot. Not only that, if you have such an area, which is considered a karfef, an open area, a very large open area, which is not for living purposes, in the rishus that you want to make the Erev, it also will prevent you being able to use the Erev. And you'll have to build a wall around that area to separate it from the general area. That's the din of karfef. Today I wanted to go on to the city Erev. So over here, this is a little more complicated. And we do find that there is a mitzvah on the Gadol Ha'ir to make an Erev for the people of the city. And we also do find that already in the Gemara speaks about making Eruvim around Yerushalayim and other places. Of course, as we'll see, for many reasons, if one doesn't have to rely on the city Erev, there is a lot of room for such a decision, that they do not want to rely on the city Erev, and they only want to rely on the private Erevs around the different communities, it does make sense. Rav Shlomo Zalman used to say over in Yerushalayim, used to say over a story that when the Erev was built in Yerushalayim many years ago, so they were from the Gedolei Yerushalayim that were behind it, and whether they carried themselves or not, but they were behind the Erev around Yerushalayim. And one of the Gedolei Yerushalayim, I forgot the name of which one, he used to go out every Friday to take care of it, to fix it, and make sure it was up and working properly. When he was nifta, all of a sudden, no one was in charge. So they chapped that it must have been him that was in charge. So at that point, Rabbi Zin Yadler, who was the Maggid in Yerushalayim, would go around to the different shuls Friday night to speak and make an appeal for the upkeep of the Erev. And he came to one shul, and that shul said, we don't need the Erev, we don't use the Erev, we don't need the Erev, and therefore don't come into our shul, don't speak. And Rav Shlomo Zalman said that there wasn't a single person from that shul that didn't have a child that went off the derech, and he used to quote the names of these famous people that came from that shul. The point that Rav Shlomo Zalman was bringing out was that to get up and to attack a city Erev is not our job, and it's not for us to do. If we do want to make a decision on our own that we want to be machmir and we don't want to use it, that's fine. But not to get up and make statements against the city Erev. And I think you could apply this rule to many other areas of halacha. but this is where it was said. Now, every Erev in Eretz Yisrael, in each city, has a Mesirah that goes back many, many years. Could be geographically things change, could be the number of people in the city change, but the Erev itself was built by Rabbanim Chashuv. We have a Machlekes, what's considered Rishus HaRabim. And again, we said, a Erev will not work for a Rishus HaRabim. If you have a Rishus HaRabim, you cannot just build a, put strings and posts and make Erev Chatzeris and all that. But there's a Machlekes, what's considered Rishus HaRabim, a very famous Machlekes between many, many Rishonim. Take a look at the Be'er Halacha. He has a long list of Rishonim Lekan and a long list of Rishonim Lekan. More or less comes out equal. And then with the Rishonim we found nowadays, it tips the scale to one way over the other. The Machlekes is whether you need 600,000 people, Samach Ribe, 600,000 people in order to create a Rishus Rabim, or it's enough that the roads or the marketplaces are 15 amos wide. Now, many Shitas hold that if you have roads which are 15 amos wide and they're not covered with a roof, the Eino Mikurim, they're not covered with a roof, and they have no walls, or some hold, even if there are walls going along the side of the road, but if it's open at the two ends, it's Mefulish Mishar Lashar, it's open from one end of the city to the other end of the city, and the doors are not closed at night, it's considered a Rishus HaRabim. Some hold that this road that's Mefulish, that's open from one end of the city to the other end of the city, has to be straight, not with any turns and bends. Some hold, even if there are turns and bends, it's also called Mefulish Mishar Lashar. So this is where the big Machlekes comes in. The Taz actually ends off after discussing this Machlekes, V'hamachmir yachmir la'atzmai. Be machmir for yourself. The Magen Avraham brings the Machmirim, but then he says, Roy Pais Kamar la'hakal. And it's also mavur in the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Gimel Sif Yud Ches that nowadays we don't have Rishus HaRabim. He's talking about women wearing jewelry. However, if you take a look at many other Achrayim, the Shulchan Aruch Rav, the Chayyada, the Beis Meir, the Kitz Shulchan Aruch, Mishabur, constantly when they talk about whether we do have Rishus HaRabim nowadays or not, they do say, but it's about Nefesh Yachmer, Yirei Shemayim Machmer. So you do see that they are concerned that perhaps we do have Rishus HaRabims nowadays. That's number one. So even if you're going to go with Rashi, who holds that you need Shishim Riboy, you need 600,000 people in order to make it into Rishus HaRabim. It's not enough that the road is wide, 15 amos, but you need 600,000. Still, there are many ways how to understand this. Do I need them all going on the road? Do I need them all going on one road? Or we include other roads together, like there's the main road with side roads. Do I need it to be every day that 600,000 people go there? Or it's enough that there's in the city, living in the city, that there's living in the city 600,000? Do I need it to be at one time or throughout the day that there's 600,000 people here? Do I need it on Shabbos to have, maybe Dafkan Shabbos, you need to have 600,000. So again, these are different machlekesim which could go l'kula or l'chumrah. If we're going to learn in Rashi, then it means 600,000 people living in the city, or there's once a year when they do go through this road, or and we include other roads with this road, it's very possible that you'll have it in many cities where there are highways going through the city. And therefore, again, even if we're going to rely on Rashi, but there's still room to be machmir that some of our cities have a din of Rishus HaRabim and Erev won't work. The Aruch HaShulchan, the Sim Shimim Heois Chavav, he's mitam on the Lashon, the Shulchan Aruch, when he brings down Rashi, the Rashi says, B'chol Yoim. He says, Rashi just says it needs to be Matsui Shishim Riboy. Doesn't say B'chol Yoim, and therefore he learns the Lashon of Rashi is Lav Dafka. When we're talking about the Erev in Yerushalayim, so like we said, the Erev in Yerushalayim was built by Gedolei Yerushalayim, and it's Yidua that Enochrami things have changed geographically, and different ideas. It's actually more an Erevin that Vav speaks about, the Erev Yerushalayim, and talks about the doors being closed over there. But the Mekilim, Rav Moshe has a few tshuvas, and Chedek Alpsim, Kuflam Tes, Chedek Dalsim, Pezayim, Peches. He's Mechaldish Lahaloch in the Das of Rashi, that you need 600,000 in order for it to be called Rishus Rabim. And it's only if they're gathering at some time, at least one time, that they gather together. Right? They used to say in Flatbush, July 4th is the gathering. But again, so this is a makim that they are that people rely on to farket lekula in other places where you don't have that. But this is just in short the back and forth about city Eruvin. So Yanki Fisher, I saw this morning, has a tshuva in his tshuva from Eben Yisrael. Where he talks about the idea that some people, they themselves won't carry in the city Erev, but they'll let the wives carry in the city Erev. And like he writes that it would sound like it doesn't make sense, because if you hold that you can't carry, how could your wife carry? She also has to keep Shabbos just like you have to keep Shabbos. However, since there is what to rely on, to use the Erev, so to impose it on your wife, even though it's a chumrah, which makes sense for someone who wants to accept it, but to impose it on your wife where it could be more difficult for her, that she feels she needs to get out, she needs to go to the park, she needs to go out, then there's room to say that you, until you learn the sugya and come out lechumrah, you could allow your wife to carry, even though you don't carry. Nowadays, in many cities, not just in Yerushalayim, they build a Eruvim around the different communities, and sometimes attach community to community without including any of these roads, which could be a question of Rishus Rabim. And they try to be Mahadu with all different Yidurim. Some put actually dalsays, they put doors there and they'll close it for a moment or two at night, or sometime questions if that helps or not, if they just close it and open it right away. But Klal Yisrael is mahadir very much in this inyan. Now,
I mean, what are the chumras that are like a lot of brought down chumras that we like just to know about?
The ones that I just mentioned. What I mentioned, every step I mentioned is a bir halacha with the back and forth on each one of what I said. Whether Rishus Rabim is telling 15 amos is 600,000, even if you say 600,000, how do we count that 600,000? Those fakers that I mentioned. And then also there's about having a street, a road that goes mefulosh, mishal, shar is also a bir halacha. Each one is mamash of bir halacha, but there's like five different. If you want to know where it is, so then I could send it out. But
what was the last thing you mentioned? A mafulish?
That there's a street that goes from one end of the city to the other end of the city. Mishar l'shar. And then there's also questions how you view that. Does it mean straight across, or even if it turns the middle?
How do you measure the 15 amos? Of a rechov.
Also, that's also a big discussion. Do we look at both the derachim of traffic, both lanes, both ways? Do we take into consideration the sidewalks? Again, this is mamash discussion, not just in Heintiga, but even in the early Achrayim. And this is another reason why there's lekula lechumra. Again, those that are being mekel are using the tzadim lekaka. Those that are being machmir, going with the chumras of the shittas that hold that it is considered a road of 15 amos. We have many roads which have a few lanes going in each direction, which already is 15 amos. Not that big, especially if you count the sidewalk with it. So these are all different discussions that are, yeah. Then when we come to that, this is the one section. Then we mentioned that there's a second section about Eruv Chatzeros, where when you're making Eruv Chatzeros in a building or in a neighborhood, so you can have one person take a challah, take a bread, and be zeichlin for everyone else. And then you do Sechiris Rishos with the Mechalei Shabbos and the Goyim that are living in that area. But when you're doing it in a city, it gets more complicated. What's giving you Sechiris Rishos? How are you having Sechiris Rishos? So again, this is also a discussion in the Paiskim. We're going to the mayor, going to the police department, the fire department, those that have rishus to go into someone's house without asking, the army, and then doing schiz rishus with them, which is again another discussion in the Paiskim. How do we fulfill that? There's what to be said machan again, but then there's room to be mefakfik on it. Nowadays, could be no one has rishus to just walk into anyone's house. It's not the police department, not anyone. So that's where it comes. Again, there's another weak point in the city Eruv.
What was the minute back in Europe? They went to every single guy specifically and bought it from them, or they bought from the mayor?
So it seems like they did it with the Memshala in those cities that they did it. And there was a back and forth between G'day Le'achranim then on, there's a Bir Alach about it also. I don't remember offhand which Simon. I do remember that there's a Bir Alach about this also. And there was obviously Gedalim Lakan that were happy with it, and there were those that were not happy with it. Also, those days, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know if they had cities which were as large as with so many people like we do, where it could be then also, then they also were, to me, it seemed like more powerful, that the government was actually able to walk into someone's house without permission, just storm in. There was always that pirate who was able to do it.
A lot of people like quoting as a chumrah, the Shitas Rambam. Like, which one's like a better chumrah, the Rambam or these things, or these or the different
Rambam? The Dalsos that was, I mentioned there with the walls. If there's walls around the street, and even if there's walls, you may have to have doors, and the doors have to be closed at night. That's the chumrah of the Rambam. Again, if somebody. Go to Matas Dorf. It's probably one of the most one of the Arabs, which include with probably one of the most chumras possible. The guy who built it, the person who built it, is a Pukau, something like that. I don't remember his name. He lives all the way at the end there. He used to many years ago. So he himself didn't carry because he found even more chumras after he built the Eruv. So again, there's no end to the amount of shitas and chumras that you can find within each shita. And a person has to make a decision when it's much easier when you learn the sugya to make the decision. But until you learn the sugya, you have to make a decision of what you want to do. Okay. I was thinking, first of all, hello to all the children that are on. Wow, look at that. I miss everyone. I miss all the wow, Usher and
Shlomo,
right. Wow. And all our friends over there. The Goldschmidts, where's everyone? Where's all the boys? Very nice. Okay. So I was just going to say something on the Parsha, just something short from the Haftarah. The Haftarah is the story with Shimshon. Shimshon was known to be a Nazir, a Nazirus Shimshon. We have many times in Mishnah's Gemara that there's a type of Nazirus, which is called Nazirus Shimshon. And the story begins with Eishes Menoyach. Menoyach was the father of Shimshon, and his wife was Eishes Menoyach, the wife of Menoyach. And Eishes Menoyach was a tremendous tzaddikus. She was a greater tzaddikus. She was in tzidkus. She was greater than her husband Menoyach. That's why we see that the Malach came to her and not to Menoyach until later on he came to Menoyach. But the first visit and the second visit was to Eishes Menoyach. Even after Menoyach asked the Malach to come to him, the Malach showed up by her. So Chazal told us because she was a greater tzaddikus, which means that she was a great person. And yet we find the pasuk tells us, "Vayar Malach Hashem aleisha vayimei leha, hine no at akara v'leyilat." The Malach tells her that you are a akara, and you cannot give birth. V'haris v'leyilatven. However, you will become pregnant, and you will give birth to a son. So Chassam Sofer's bother, what's this long arichas in the pasuk? Why do we need to know hine no at akara v'leyilat? And now you can give birth. Just say, let the Malach just come and tell her, you will become pregnant, you will give birth to a son. So the Chassam Sofer quotes the Medrash, that the Medrash tells us that there was an ongoing machlekes between him and her. Whose fault was it that they're not having children? Is it his fault, her fault? Who's the cause for this? And the Malach was coming to her and telling her, you are the problem over here. You are the problem. However, you will be zecher now to become pregnant and give birth to a son. Says the Chassam Sofer, if we look a little further, when she goes back to her husband, Menoyach, the pasuk says, V'atove o isha v'atoyma le'isha, le'mar, isha le'kim bo'elai, v'yoyma le'hin hara v'ilad. Then, when she goes to her husband and she speaks to her husband, she leaves out the first part that the Malach told her. She tells her husband, the Malach came and told me that I will become pregnant and give birth to a son. But she didn't say anything about the fact that he also told her that she was the problem all along. She left that out. So says the Medrash, she did not want to be megala to her husband her kilkul. She was in denial. She didn't want to admit or take responsibility for something that was wrong. And that was the taina on her. As great as she was, as great as the person was, and sometimes it's even harder for someone who's in a high position, someone who's great, to admit that they did something wrong, to take responsibility for what they did, instead of answering up that no, it was really like this, was really like that, I didn't mean it like that, I meant it like that, or shoving it under the carpet and not even addressing it. And that's much easier many times, to just leave it and not address our kilkulim, our points where we need work on, or mess ups that we have done, not to face it, which is the whole yisrael of the Saita. Tremendous, the Saita, the passion of Saita is teaching us the koichos ha-nefesh of a person. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz is very much ma'arich on this. How you have here a seita, and the kohen is describing to her what's about to take place to her. And the kohen is telling her that if you do not admit to what you did wrong, to the avera you did, you are going to blow up into pieces. You're going to be a bazillion to everyone. You're going to blow up your yerech. Everything's going to go into pieces. And she's holding it out because she cannot admit to the aver she did. Rav Chaim points out there are many points. Okay, we make her hold the mincha, all different things to wear her out so that finally she'll admit to the aver she did. But the Saita, she has to stay. She holds herself back and she's with her pride, with her ego, that I'm not going to admit. And then she blows up into pieces. That's the koichos ha-nefesh. A person has to realize they have that and they have to work on that and they have to overcome that. The maila of Yehuda was that he said, Tzadka mimeni. And Chazal tell us that he was zeicha to malchus. Tzadka mimeni. What was the great thing that he said, Tzadka mimeni, that he was zeicha to malchus, to become melech, that melucha comes from Yehuda? The answer is that he was able to be Maida, and not, he wasn't embarrassed to be Maida. He was able to take responsibility for what he did wrong. He could have let Tama go out, and she would have gotten burnt, and no one would have known anything that happened. But Yehuda got up and said, Sadka Mimeni. Amoida that I did something wrong over here and she's not guilty. And for that, he was Zeicha to Melucha, because that's a melech, that's a leader. A leader is someone who could take full responsibility for everything, a full achrayas, and he's able to be Maida on what he does right and what he does wrong. And that was Moshe Rabbeinu also. Rashi tells us, Hoidav Leibosh. Moshe went around to everyone telling them that Aaron was right, because Moshe Rabbeinu was a balachrayas. He was able to be a balachrayas to take responsibility for whatever he does. If he did something right, he did something wrong, I'm responsible for it. And that's a melech. That's the galus of a melech. So the Pesukim go on to tell us that the Malach comes and tells them, the parents, about what they need to do with this Shimshin that will be born, this son that will be born. You shouldn't feed him grapes, you shouldn't feed him wine, you should not let him eat something which is tameh. He cannot be metame himself. There are dinim over here that they're going to have to be mechanech their son with. And the Malach says a very interesting lashon. He says, he's speaking to the father. He says, Tishamer, you should watch over it. What does it mean, you should watch over it? What it means is, the Matchadruk is to say over, Tishamer means that a tremendous yisayid in chinuch. You need to be a role model. You need to be a figure that the children will look up to. It's not enough to tell your child, don't do this, don't do that, or do this, or do that. That's not enough. When they'll see you doing what's right or not doing what's wrong, that's how they're going to learn. They want to emulate you. They want to be like you. So they're going to learn from you, from what you do and how you do it, with the geschmack you do it with, and all the pitchkevis that you put into it. They're going to want to do that. They're going to learn from that. And that's a tremendous yisoid that the Malach was telling Manoach. Tishamer, you want to be able to have a son like Shimshin, who's supposed to be the machine shel Yisrael. You want to have such a great son. You want a son to grow up with the right midas. You, Tishamer, you need to do it yourself. And that's the form of chinuch that you're able to give over. And what's interesting is the Malach was telling Manoach that you need to begin doing this already now, 9 months before Shimshin is born, which means that it's not enough to start. Chinuch doesn't start the day that the baby is born. Chinuch starts 9 months before that. 9 months before that. If you don't prepare yourself, if you don't start preparing yourself now, it's not going to happen overnight. So the Malach is telling us another yisayin of chinuch. Chinuch is all about working on yourself. And when you work on yourself and you make yourself perfect or better and better, then that's what type of children you'll have. So Be'ez Hashem, we should all be Zeicha to be able to continue our Avedis Hashem in whatever way we're working on it, to make ourselves better and closer to our Kadosh Baruch Hu, and our children should be able to learn from that, learn from our ways of our Avedis Hashem and our Geshmak that we have in Avedis Hashem, and they'll grow up to be Kasher Erlecha Yidden, which the Brisk Rav once said that the most important bracha is to Zozaina Erlecha Yid. His daughter once came, Lipsha Feinstein, once came to him with her son for a bracha, and he said, you should be Erlecha Yid. And she said, Erlecha Yid, that's all? He said, Tamid Chom we have Tamid Chom and we have Yerei Shemayim, but we need Erlecha Yidden. And if they see the father's an erlich glat yid, and he does things glat and straight, then they won't play shtick either. It's when the father's playing kleiner shtick, then the child's smarter than the father. He knows more, so he has greater shtick. And that's where we lose our children. But as Hashem, it's Yad Hashemai, we should be zeich to raise our families of derech ha-teir of ha-avid, and they should be erlich yid.
Amen.
Really, it sounds like that, like, almost every street could become a Shusha Rab, according to Shem Shita.
You have to learn up Rav Moshe well, how he draws the square of what's included in the main street. And true, if you learn like Rav Moshe, I'm not holding it right now, but I do remember that according to Ramesh, it could come out that a lot more is included than according to other shitas.
Just with the 15 amas alone, 15 amas is about, you got 30 feet.
That's it. And Achrami, this far.
Anywhere is 30 feet.
There's a steer in Shulchan Aruch. There's a steer in Shulchan Aruch. And there's a stam v'yeshayimrim in the Shulchan Aruch. And usually we pass them like the stam. And that's why many Sephardic Shepaiskim hold that the Mechaber Shita is 15 amas. And therefore they will not carry in any of these Erevs. Now, there could be, the Prima Gadim says it could be over here. We don't apply the rule of stam v'yeshayimrim. Look at Prima Gadim. But so therefore other Sephardic Rabbanim maybe a little more Mekel. But Enochanami, if you're going with that Shita, which many Sephardim do, and Ashkenazim also, then you're not going to have so much room to be lenient.
So you, even the Rehov Paran becomes a Shazara and Derais then?
Unless the...
Especially where the stores are over there. That part is very wide.
Which bar?
And where the stores are.
Right, but like I said before, could be you count each direction of traffic separately. Could be you don't take the sidewalks into Cheshbon. Again, you could break it down if you want to. Certain sheets that it's not considered. But yeah, look, the Goyin, the Vilna Goyin was Noig, that he never carried out of his house, and even in the house, he would hold it in his hand, not put it in his pocket. So they shouldn't come to carry outside. The Goyin said, the Pasuk says, we say the end of Bamalikim.
Right, famous girl.
Right, Hilchsa Rabsa the Shabsa. Hilchsa Rabsa Shabsa means it's halacha that comes up many times over Shabbos. Every time before you leave the house, check your pocket. But, yeah.
What's with the, there's multiple Erevs in Yerushalayim. There's like a Rabban Noda and an Eid HaChredis, like.
So they're both more or less using the same telephone wires or strings. They're more or less using the same. Around when I lived on Machel 2, so at that point we checked the two Erevs and we saw that there's one street, there's a section, a small section in Rechavia. It's not part of the Eid HaChredis Erev, but it's part of the Rabbanan Erev. So there was a neighbor of mine at the time. He had to go to someone. He was going to someone for a Suda on that block. So Reb Zalman Nechemi Goldberg used to sit in Sadikor, because he still does that. He used to sit in Sadikor second say, then he was available in those days that he could go speak to him. So we went to speak to him. He said, my shver held that you could rely on the Rabbanan Erev and you could carry it over there. But he said, I don't remember if he said this verse or someone else said this verse. I don't remember exactly. This was years ago. But someone said that the reason for what was the reason? I mean, he mentioned the reason, but the Knech, I don't remember if he said or not, but the reason why the Eid HaChredis didn't include it in was because there was someone living there who's mamish anti the Arab and refused to be mishtatev no matter what. I don't care what. He was mamish anti. So the Eid HaChredis left that out. But the Ariyah held that they have rishus, the Rabbanut. Rabbanut held that they work with the Ariyah, and the Ariyah has rishus to walk into anyone's house. So therefore they included it in there. So someone said, I don't remember if it was Ruzam Lachemi or not, but he says the Shitasa. The Eid HaChredis that's not Makir, the area, so right that there's no one including this in. But the Rabbanut, who is Makir, the area, is able to use it.
We Makir the Medina?
What?
So are we Makir the Medina?
For this year. Not for a discussion over Zoom, right?
We could turn the recording off. I mean, the Olam wants to know what's with Big Apple. What should we tell the Olam?
So tell them like this, that Achikam is waiting for me to call him. He already sent me a message a few times this morning. I told him I had to down shachris, and then I sent him back. I have to give shir. What I'll just say in short, that what happened was Achikam more or less sold it, except for a small chelik, which he hasn't sold yet, to these new owners. I'll say nicely, these owners never experienced our Heksher. And to them, to Achikam, we built him up. We built him up. We put him on his feet, if those that were here long enough remember. They didn't. So therefore, they view us as annoyance. It's annoying. It's annoying. Why do I need to be careful not to bring in Beis Yosef products? Why do I? And they did the same thing over and over. And every time they said, "Ah, what's the big deal?" And they somehow the camera access got played with. That the camera guys told us that he'd set it up. Different issues like that. Again, I'm saying it. To them was it's annoying to have a camera watching things like that. So they didn't appreciate us. So all we did was to, not because we're in a power struggle over here, but it's not right for me to tell people that they can rely on this when it's not on the same standard that we had it on until now. So we put it on hold. Lamaisa Achikam obviously was a little upset about it. So he spoke to Rabbi Farkash this morning and he's trying to get through to me. I'll call him as soon as we finish here. To take achrayis. He said he's going to take achrayis. So Be'ezer Shev, if he takes achrayis and it works out, Sunday morning we'll be back on. But not because we're flimsy back and forth. This is what happened, okay?
There's a rumor going around they're getting Reuben like the burger shop next door.
It could be. And I have no problems with that. Someone sent out a message that Rabbi Wiener is upset because since Achikam took Reuben on his burger shop, therefore he's getting back at him his pizza shop. First of all, I don't care. As long as you have a good Echsher and the Echsher is on top of it, I don't care. I really don't. And one less store is somewhat easier for my stress. And therefore, I don't care about that as long as the other Echsher is doing a good job. So I was not getting back at him for that. It's contrary to what went out. I got the text from a few people sent it to me. Very nice. Okay, so someone decided it. But that wasn't the issue. And it could be the whole chain will go on to Reuben because of the hate. Now it's easier to get Reuben. Reuben's making things easier than they used to make. Reuben's loosening up. Products are changing over to the Haredis that they couldn't get a Reuben for until now. Reuben didn't accept the Haredis. Now Reuben is accepting the Haredis. Look, that's the world. The world is changing. It's modernizing in all ways. So as long as they don't modernize in their policies, then fine. I have no problems. Let it be. Let all the shops to come with it. That's what they want. Zalman is now under us.
Okay.
I have a good chance.
What?
Is that clear?
About what?
About what's going on?
What, Big Apple?
Okay, fine. Thank you very much, everyone. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Yaakov, good to see you, and Sender, and AC, and everyone else, and Mattis, and everyone else who's on still. And everyone who was on, and everyone else who didn't come on. Good Shabbos.